Picture a ramp at Moses Lake, Washington, September 2022. There's an airplane sitting there that looks like nothing else on the field. Smooth, almost seamless, a T-tail, a pod on each side of the rear fuselage, and a nose that tapers like a teardrop. Then it starts up, and here's the thing. It barely makes a sound. That was the first flight of Eviation's Alice, and I've wanted to break it down for you for a while now. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to talk about the airplane that a lot of people pointed to as the future of regional flying. We're going to talk about what it actually is, what the engineering really demands, and why the honest answer to when can I fly on one is more complicated than the press photos suggest. Let's break this down. Before we get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, cast into something you can actually hold, beautifully made, built to last, and honestly, a better way to mark the day you soloed than another logbook stamp nobody sees. That's AviationSoul.com. So, what is Alice? Alice is a clean-sheet, all-electric airplane. Not a hybrid, not a conversion of an existing airframe with an electric motor bolted on. Clean-sheet, designed from the first line on the drawing to run on batteries and nothing else. The target configuration is 9 passengers and 2 crew, flown by a pair of electric motors mounted at the rear. And that word, clean-sheet, matters more than it sounds. Most of the early electric airplanes you've heard about were retrofits. Take a Cessna, take a Caravan, pull the turbine, drop in a motor and a battery pack. That's a smart way to prove the powertrain works. ZeroAvia does it. Magnix has flown a converted Caravan. It de-risks the propulsion because everything else about the airframe is already certified and understood. Eviation went the hard way. They built the whole airplane around the battery. Here's why that decision makes engineering sense, even though it's harder. When you know from day one that your energy source weighs a ton, literally, you can shape the entire aircraft to carry it efficiently. The battery in Alice isn't cargo you're hauling, it's structure. It sits low in the belly. It's part of how the airplane holds together, and the aerodynamics are drawn to need as little energy as possible to stay up. The motors came from a company called Magnex, and this is the part that fascinates me. The propulsion unit is the Magni 650, call it around 640 kilowatts of output, which is roughly the shaft power of an 850 horsepower turboprop engine coming out of an electric motor. And an electric motor is almost absurdly simple compared to a turbine. A turboprop is thousands of parts spinning at tens of thousands of RPM, burning fuel, managing hot section temperatures, bleeding air. An electric motor is, in the crudest terms, a shaft, some magnets, and some copper. Fewer moving parts, no combustion, no mixture, no carb heat, no hot start. Here's what most people miss about electric propulsion. The excitement was never really about the motor. The motor is a solved problem. Engineers have known how to build powerful, efficient electric motors for 100 years. The entire drama of electric aviation, all of it lives in one place. The battery. The data tells an interesting story here, and it's a story about energy density. Let me put it in terms every pilot already feels in their bones. Jet A, the fuel in a turboprop, holds something like 43 megajoules of energy per kilogram. It's an astonishing substance. That's the reason aviation runs on it. A pound of jet fuel carries a staggering amount of go. The best lithium-ion battery cells you can actually buy today, they store maybe 1 megajoule per kilogram at the cell level and less than that once you package them into a real pack with cooling and structure and safety margins. So round it off, jet fuel carries something like 40 to 60 times the energy per pound as your battery does. Sit with that number, because it's the whole ballgame. 40 to 60 times. Now, before you write off the entire idea, there's a counterweight, and it's a big one. An electric powertrain is dramatically more efficient at turning stored energy into thrust. A piston or turbine engine throws away most of its fuel energy as heat. You're lucky to get 30% of it out the propeller. An electric drivetrain, motor, and controller together can deliver 90% or better of what's in the battery to the shaft. So the real-world gap isn't 60 to 1, it's more like 15 or 20 to 1 once you account for efficiency. But 15 to 1 is still 15 to 1, and that single ratio explains everything about Alice. Every design choice, every limitation, every argument about whether this airplane has a future traces straight back to it. So how do you build a real airplane against a number like that? You do three things, and Eviation did all three. First, you minimize how much energy the airplane needs in the first place. Alice is drawn to be extraordinarily slippery. Clean lines, high aspect ratio wing, the whole shape optimized to sip energy and cruise. Every count of drag you remove is battery weight you don't have to carry. Second, you accept a short range. Alice was never pitched as a machine to cross the country. The mission is regional, short hops, the kind of 200, 250 nautical mile legs that connect a small city to a hub. The honest engineering target has moved around over the years, and early marketing numbers were, let's be generous, optimistic, but the concept is sound, match the airplane to the mission, and the mission is short. Third, you lean hard into the things electric does better than fuel ever could. And this is where it gets genuinely compelling. So let me spend a minute on the pilot's eye view, because this is where you'd actually feel the difference. Start with cost. Electricity per unit of energy is cheap compared to jet fuel, and it doesn't swing wildly with every geopolitical headline. The motors have very few moving parts, so the maintenance picture is fundamentally different. No hot section inspections, no overhauls measured in the way you overhaul a turbine. Fewer things to break means fewer things to fix. Then there's the flying itself. An electric motor makes full torque essentially the instant you command it. There's no spool up, no lag. Power is just there. And it doesn't care about density altitude the way a normally aspirated engine does. Take a piston airplane up to a hot, high field and watch it wheeze. Watch your performance bleed away. An electric motor delivers its rated power, whether you're at sea level or at altitude, right up until thermal limits come into play. For airports in the mountains, in the heat, that's not a small thing. And the noise. Go back to that ramp at Moses Lake. An electric commuter operating in and out of a small community airport is quiet in a way that changes the politics of an airport. A lot of general aviation fields are under constant pressure from neighbors who moved in next to the runway and then complained about the airplanes. We've covered airports fighting for their lives on this show. Quiet airplanes are airplanes that get to keep flying out of contested fields. So that's the promise, and it's a real promise. Cheaper energy, simpler maintenance, better hot and high performance, and quiet operations. If you only heard that list, you'd think this was a done deal. Now, let me be the engineer you actually want and tell you the honest problems. Because balance is the whole job here, and hyping vaporware without caveats is exactly what I promised never to do. Problem one is the range and payload trade, and it's brutal. That 15-to-1 energy gap means the battery is enormous and heavy. On an airplane, weight isn't just weight. Every pound of battery is a pound you can't sell as a passenger or a bag. And here's the cruel part that pilots understand better than anyone. A jet-fueled airplane gets lighter as it flies. You burn fuel, you shed weight, you land lighter than you took off. An electric airplane weighs exactly the same on landing as it did at rotation. You carry every one of those battery pounds the entire flight. Every leg, forever. There is no burning it off. Problem two is charging, and this one gets overlooked. It's not enough to build the airplane. You have to build the airport around it. Turning a 9-seat commuter fast enough to make money means dumping an enormous amount of electrical power into it in a very short time. We are talking about charging infrastructure that many small airports simply do not have the grid connection to support. The airplane is only half the system. The other half is a charger and a substation and a utility company, and that half doesn't show up in the pretty renderings. Problem three is battery life and the ugly economics underneath it. Batteries degrade. Every charge cycle takes a little something out of them, and aviation cycles them hard, deep discharges, fast charges, big temperature swings. At some point, the pack no longer holds enough to fly the mission safely, and you replace it. That replacement is expensive, and how often you have to do it is one of the least discussed, most important numbers in the entire business case. All those maintenance savings from the simple motor can get eaten alive by the battery replacement bill if the cycle life isn't there. And problem four is certification, which brings us to the honest timeline, because this is where I have to level with you. Alice flew in 2022. One flight, about 8 minutes, and a first flight, as exciting as it is the very beginning of the road, not the end. Certifying a clean sheet airplane with a brand new propulsion type through the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, is a mountain. The FAA has decades of rules written around fuel-burning engines. The standards for large lithium battery installations, for how you prove they won't catch fire, for how you handle a cell that goes into thermal runaway at altitude, all of that is still being worked out in real time. You're not just certifying an airplane, you're helping write the rule book you're being certified against. And the program has felt every bit of that gravity. Aviation has gone through leadership changes and restructuring. The public timeline for entry into service has slipped, the way ambitious clean sheet programs almost always slip. If you went looking for Alice to be carrying paying passengers next year, you would be disappointed, and anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. So here's where I land, and I want to be careful to be fair, because there's a lazy cynicism about electric aviation that I don't share. Alice is not a scam, and it's not a toy. It's a serious, credible attempt at a genuinely hard problem, built by people who understood the battery math going in and designed around it honestly instead of pretending it away. The interest was real. The shipping company, DHL, placed an order for a cargo version. That's a logistics operator with a stopwatch and a spreadsheet betting that short-hop electric freight could pencil out. But the same physics that makes Alice quiet and cheap to run is the physics that caps what it can do. This airplane is not going to replace a regional jet. It was never trying to. What it's trying to do is open up a category that barely exists right now. Short, thin routes between small cities, flown cheaply and quietly, the kind of flying that died when it got too expensive to run. A turboprop 9-seater on a 100-mile leg. Whether Alice specifically is the airplane that cracks that market, or whether it's the one that proves the concept and hands the win to whoever comes next, I genuinely don't know. That's not me dodging, that's the honest state of it. The technology works, the physics is unforgiving. And the winner will be decided less by who has the slickest airplane and more by who solves the battery cycle life and the airport charging at the same time. Here's the thought I want to leave you with. Every generation of aviation had a moment where the new thing looked marginal, looked like it could barely get out of its own way. The early jets drank fuel and scared everybody. The first retractable gear airplanes were death traps until the systems matured. The tech that looks limited today is limited by exactly one number, and battery energy density has been climbing, quietly a few percent a year for a long time. 15 to 1 becomes 10 to 1 becomes 8, and every step down that ratio, the map of what's possible gets bigger. Watch the batteries, not the renderings. The batteries, that's where this story actually gets written. My thanks to Eviation and to Magnax for the details on the airframe and the powertrain, and to the Aviation Trade Press that's tracked this program honestly through every high and every stumble. There's more from me over at RadioHanger.com if you want it. This is Vector. Keep your eyes on the energy budget, and I'll see you on the next one.